Scripture reading this morning is from the third Proverb, Proverbs 3. And we began last week a series looking a little deeper into the Proverbs. And this text for this morning is verses 1 through 6 of Proverbs 3. And this is the New Living Translation, something a little more modern, a little different from some of the normal translations that we might read. Proverbs 3, 1 through 6. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. So it's a beautiful mid-October afternoon. And I was in an airplane flying about 3,000 feet above the ground. This was somewhere over central Indiana, so it was a beautiful fall day. This was different than any other flight I had ever taken before or since, because there was a gaping hole in the side of the airplane. And I happened to be standing near the edge of that hole, looking out into the wild blue yonder, and down at the ground far, far below. And someone was standing near me, and he put his hand on my shoulder and gave me a little nudge and said, "Go!" And so I did. I jumped right out of a perfectly good aircraft. At that point, my survival instincts kicked in. And I thought, okay, and this all, you know, happened in a split second. I thought, okay, I'm falling through the air, but that's not dangerous, really, falling through the air. The problem is the sudden stop at the bottom when I get to the ground. That would be a problem. And I thought about flapping my arms. I thought, okay, maybe that would work. It works for the birds. Maybe that would work for me. But I remember trying that as a kid off of different things, not the least of which was the roof of the house, jumping off and flapping arms, seeing if it would work. And I remember that none of those worked at all. But then I recalled how I had been taught what to do in the two-hour training session that happened earlier in the day. And what I was supposed to do was to arch my back, because that gets your body in the right position for the parachute that's on your back to have the ripcord pulled by a static line that was attached to the inside of the plane. And so the mantra that we were ingrained with is arch, 2, 3, 4, look, look, pull, punch. And that was going through my head. Arch, because that gets you in the right position. 2, 3, 4, that gives you a few seconds for the parachute to open up and deploy. And look, so you look behind you and you look up and you make sure that it is open. And if it's not, then you look again, this time down on the reserve chute that's right attached to your chest, and you pull the ripcord that's there, and you punch to help it get it started. So arch, 2, 3, 4, look, look, pull, punch. But for me, it was arch, 2, 3, 4, look. Oh, that's beautiful. That's just gorgeous. And you're taught to put your hands up on the controls of the chute that are on either side, so you can kind of steer where you're going. And then I enjoyed my 3-minute ride floating down to the ground on this beautiful, beautiful day. Survival instinct is pretty strong in all of us, and it probably accounts for most of the behavior that exists when we react to something that is dangerous, something that might provide fear or worry. And sometimes our survival instinct is helpful. Some fast-moving vehicle is approaching our way. We instinctively, because of our survival mode, want to get out of the way. Or we know there's a serious storm brewing outside, and we know we're supposed to run indoors. Or we know that pulling our ripcord is a good idea when we're 3,000 feet above the ground. So our survival instinct accounts for much of our behavior when we're in dangerous or threatening situations. But there's one situation when our instinct to survive does more harm than good. And that's the point of our faith. You remember the story, and it's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where Jesus is in a boat on the Sea of Galilee with the disciples. They're all there together. And Jesus has had a long day. He's taking a nap in the back of the boat, and the disciples are making their way across the water. And then, as is a custom sometime in that area, a storm blows down out of the hills and onto the lake. And it's a pretty serious storm. Lots of wind, lots of waves, and the waves are starting to lap over into the boat. And the disciples, in their survival instinct mode, begin to get nervous. Now these, you have to remember, most of these disciples are seasoned fishermen. Their career professionally is spent on the water. But they're facing some situation now where they weren't prepared to face. Such a serious storm of such intense wind and high waves that they were panicking. They were afraid. They were worried, and they didn't know exactly how to handle it. And so they ran to Jesus. They had seen him do amazing things. And so they ran and they woke him up. He was sleeping through this storm, by the way. They ran, they woke him up, and they said to him, "Wake up! Wake up! Don't you care about us? Don't you know that we're about ready to die? We're gonna drown here if something doesn't change." And of course, Jesus woke up, and he stood up in the boat, and he raised his arms, and he said to the rain and the wind, "Be still." And to the waves, he said, "Peace." And so everything just settled down, calmed down. The wind, the rain went away, the waves, they settled, and the sea was nice and calm. And then Jesus looked right into the eyes of his disciples, and he said, "Where did you get your captain's license? Was it Kmart? What's going on here?" Well, he didn't say that exactly, but he said, "Why were you so afraid? Where is your faith?" And at that moment, the disciples had entered into a training session where they learned that faith and fear, faith and worry, are opposites. That in God's kingdom, when you trust in him, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to worry. To the disciples, he was saying, you know, some things are out of your control. Yeah, you couldn't control the wind. You couldn't control the waves. You can't control the storms of life. You're not in charge of those things. But he was saying, "I am. I am in charge of the wind and the waves. And you can trust me." The disciples may not have adequately been prepared to handle the storm that blew up on the water that day, but Jesus was providing for them a faith training experience that would help them survive the wind and the waves of life. The question for us today is, has our faith training adequately prepared us to survive life, to overcome fear and worry when our survival instinct kicks in? And here's the problem. Our default setting is to want to control things. Our default setting, we naturally, by instinct, want to make sure that we can adjust the environment around us to make it safer for us. We're the captain of our life. We want to chart our own course. We're going to pilot our boat. We're going to be just fine as long as we can be at the wheel. However, that self controlled destiny making gets in the way of trusting Jesus as Lord in our life. That's where wisdom is needed. Wisdom provides the training we need to be prepared to survive life's storms. It's not only to survive the storms, but not to worry about them. And it's not only not to worry about them, but it's to overcome the problems. And it's not only to overcome our problems, but it's to truly enjoy life. The life that God has intended for us to enjoy, the abundant, eternal life filled with peace and joy. Last week, we began our look into Proverbs. We began understanding what wisdom is. We learned a couple things about wisdom, that it's our head and our heart working together to turn right thinking into right action. We learned that it's different from this world's wisdom. God's wisdom is a gift from God, and it's different from how the world thinks. And we still, even though it's a gift from God, we still need to seek it. We still need to pursue it. We still need to work at obtaining it. Otherwise, we're in danger of lukewarmness. Otherwise, we're in danger of thinking and acting the same as everybody else in our environment, and becoming kind of lukewarm, getting to be room temperature spiritually, and that's not healthy for us. And the place we go to find wisdom is here in Scriptures. One of the biggest training grounds, one of the best training grounds for wisdom is found in the book of Proverbs in the Bible. It's written by Solomon. He was a king. He was David's son, and the Bible calls him the wisest person who's ever lived. The book of Proverbs is not a book of rules and regulations about how to get into heaven. Instead, it's a training manual for right thinking and right living. And throughout the book of Proverbs, it covers a wide range of topics. There's 915 verses in Proverbs. They cover 70 topics, which make up about 10 major dynamics, 10 major areas of life. And today's topic that chapter 3 is about faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend. We sometimes hear that. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The Message translation puts those two verses this way. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Don't assume that you know it all. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's a definition of faith. That's what faith is. Faith, it's a relationship with the Lord, a relationship of trust. It identifies who we are. It's the most essential, the most crucial, the most defining aspect of our life as followers of Jesus Christ. When you say, I believe in Jesus, or you say, I'm a Christian, or you say, I have faith in the Lord, you claim a personal relationship with God, a trust connection with the Almighty. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 puts it similarly, says, the one who is right with God lives by faith. It's not enough just to know about God. Faith moves beyond that and takes that knowledge and puts it into action where trusting God is a priority. Hebrews chapter 11 in the Bible, in the New Testament, it's a long chapter all about faith. At the beginning, it defines faith. It says faith is an assurance, a conviction. It's a deep confidence in the reality of God. And then the rest of the chapter gives examples in the Old Testament of people who had faith. One of the examples it gives is Moses. Moses is an example of how he survived through faith, how he survived the Pharaoh, how he survived the Red Sea, how he survived wandering in the wilderness. It was all by faith, all by trusting God. See, on that day over central Indiana, when I jumped out of the plane, I knew how a parachute works. Part of the two-hour training session was to see a professional parachute packer actually fold up a parachute and how he does that and how it's packed into this little knapsack that goes on your back and how it's certified and why it's certified and how you can absolutely be sure that that parachute's going to work. And so I knew that. I saw that. And when I was 3,000 feet up in the air and getting ready to go out the side door of this airplane, I could have said, you know, I know this parachute works, but, you know, I like the look of it sitting right there on the floor. I think, you know, it looks better there. I think I'll just keep it there and not worry about anything, you know. But because I trusted the parachute, I could enjoy jumping out of the plane in the middle of the sky and having a beautiful experience floating down to the ground. If I didn't trust the parachute, I couldn't have jumped out of the plane. And wisdom is like that. Wisdom in this part of Proverbs chapter 3 is saying when you trust God, when you put what you know about God into action and you trust him, then he's going to take care of you. He's going to be there for you. So the question is, how do we do that? How do we put on that faith that we can trust God when we jump into life? Well, chapter 3 gives us clues. First of all, it says, don't lean on your own understanding. That's a clue. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. It's counterproductive to use our brains as a crutch. These finite, no matter how well-schooled brains, still are fallible. And we don't always think the way we should think. And it's dangerous to think that we know it all. I mean, you don't know it all, right? I mean, anybody here know it all? Anybody? Anyone? Anyone? Now, yeah, you may think the person next to you thinks that they know it all, but nobody's going to own that they know it all, because we don't. I mean, here, you ever look up something in an encyclopedia, in a dictionary? Did you look up anything on the internet? Did you ever ask Siri something? Whenever you do that, you're confessing, I don't know it all, so I'm going to go find out what I don't know. And it's the same with our faith. We have to trust someone beyond ourselves, and we need to trust someone to be the definitive authority in our life, to be the moral standard for our life, to be the way, the truth, the life for us. And of course, that someone is God. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26 says, those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. And you remember, walking in wisdom, the beginning of wisdom is what? Is the fear of the Lord. So you walk in a relationship with God where you trust him, where you respect him, where you love him, where you have faith in him. And that helps us to overcome the fear and the worry when we face difficult times in our life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's an act of surrender. It's a way we recondition our survival instinct. That survival instinct is very strong. But trusting in God, surrendering to him, is a way we can recondition. That's a good word, way we can recondition that instinct. Don't try to figure everything out on your own, is how the Message translation puts it. Back in the early 1900s, the automaker Henry Ford was firing on all cylinders. He had just built some plants to mass produce via assembly line production, his Model T Ford, and he was just churning out automobile after automobile after automobile. One of the things that made his automobile plants so effective was being able to turn energy and electricity into something that helps power the assembly line. And that was just new. Electricity had just kind of come on the scene. And big thinkers like Tesla and Edison and Einstein were helping, you know, put the the science to practical use. And Ford was taking advantage of all of that. He had hired a guy named Charlie Steinmetz to put these huge generators in his automobile plants. Charlie was, he ranked right up there with Einstein and Tesla and those guys. He was as brilliant in his day as they come. And so Ford's plants were running on these big electrical generators, but one of the plants had a problem. The Dearborn plant in Dearborn, Michigan, the generators shut down. They quit working. And the guys on the scene, the mechanics, the engineers that were there, they did their best to try to figure out what was wrong, but for days they couldn't get the power up and running. And Ford was losing money, and he knew it. So he called up Stein, I don't know if you could call him, but he sent word to, to Steinmetz that, hey, we're having an issue, can you come and help us? And so Charlie Steinmetz shows up, and he says, I just need a couple things. I need a notepad, and I need a cot. Because it took him several hours to kind of look around, kind of tinker with all of the generators, kind of make some notes, kind of relax and take a nap, and not really a nap, but just a thinking break to figure out what's going on. Finally, he pointed out to the mechanics there what they needed to fix. There were some coils that were needed to be rewound and reestablished. And once that got done, he flipped the switch, generators came back up online, powered the plant, Ford was back up and running. A few days later, Henry Ford got a bill from Charlie Steinmetz for $10,000. And Henry Ford said, wait, this doesn't sound right. So he sent word to Steinmetz and said, so you were only here for a few hours and you just kind of did something, how come the bill is so steep? And Charlie Steinmetz wrote back and he said, well, for the little thing that I noted to the mechanics about what to work on, that just cost $10. But knowing where to tinker and where the problem was, that cost $9,990. Henry Ford paid the bill like that. He knew he was right. And see, that's what God does. He knows us so well. He knows where to tinker. He knows where the problems are in our life, probably better than what we do. And when we trust him to say, hey, this is where you need to look in your life and make some adjustments there, then the energy comes back. The electricity flows in our life once again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust your own understanding. Trust God. Acknowledge him in all your ways. God's everywhere. He knows everything. We get that. We get that he knows everything, that he's way smarter than we are. We get that he's everywhere. He's all powerful. We understand that about God. Now, acknowledging that and recognizing that and then allowing that to motivate what we do, that's putting right thinking into right acting. That's wisdom. That's what this Proverbs chapter 3 is all about. That's what Isaiah chapter 55 is all about. That part of the Bible says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He knows, God knows, where to tinker, where to adjust, where the problems are, and we can trust him. And then he makes a promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And here's the promise. He will make your path straight. He will point out the way you need to go. He will take care of. He will help you overcome whatever fear, whatever worry is bothering you. Jesus said the same thing, Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, don't worry about anything. He says, look around you. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the beautiful flowers that are blooming. Look at the trees. Look around you. God cares more for you than he does about them, but look how beautiful they are. You don't need to worry about a thing in your life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he's going to take care of you. Proverbs 12, verse 25, another one of the instructions in this course on wisdom, but in the area of what we're talking about in faith, it says, worry weighs a person down. Proverbs 12:25, worry weighs a person down. Now, I know if I asked if anybody has ever experienced that in your life, you'd all raise your hands. Has worry ever weighed you down? Well, yes, we know that. It's a drag. If you think about the parachute and floating down, if you're way heavier than what the chute can handle, you know, that's going to be a problem. And so if worry is weighing you down, it's going to be a problem to get through life's storms. There are some things that maybe can add value to our life, I'm sure. And maybe you've heard some sayings, some adages that say, you know, if you do this in your life, you're going to add some days to the end of your life. One more time around the block for your walk today. That might add a day to the end of your life. You know, just one more good night's sleep this week will help next week be even better. One less value meal from McDonald's this week will help next week be better. This is my favorite. One more hour of fishing will add a day to the end of your life. I think that's true. But the Bible says this: worry adds nothing to your life. Luke chapter 12. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can accomplish, and if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, then what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Luke 12, 25 and 26. Worry can add nothing to your life, except maybe anxiety and stress. You know, when those are things we don't need. We go to the doctor. So that we can assess what's going on with our bodies. Something's not right. We can feel it. Something's not right. And so the doctor can help us figure out what's going on. And so the doctor sends us a bill for knowing where to tinker. And one of those things, sometimes even if we're just going for a general checkup, the doctor tests our reflexes. How's it going? Just the automatic reflexes of our muscles. You know, when the doctor takes that little rubber hammer and hits you on your knee, and your knee does that little kick. You know, that's supposed to happen. So sometimes life takes its big hammer and pounds away at us. And the knee-jerk reaction that we have in our hearts is to worry, to be afraid. What faith tells us is that when we trust the Lord, we can recondition that response. That knee-jerk reaction to life's wind and waves doesn't have to be worry and fear. It can be embracing God's presence and the knowledge that he loves you and is going to take care of you. And we can cast all our cares on him because he cares for us. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you this morning for a beautiful day and a beautiful presence here in the sanctuary. Your beautiful spirit is filling our minds and hearts, filling our very souls, and we sense that this morning. We thank you for the truth of your word, which sets us free. We thank you for the power that is in your word to shape and to change us, and we pray this morning that you'll help us recondition that survival instinct in us. When our minds want to run away in fear, or when our minds want to sit and stew in worry, Lord, just help us to trust you more. Help us to know that you love us. Help us not to rely on our own understanding. Instead, help us to acknowledge you in all our ways. And you will make our path straight. You will help smooth the waves, calm the wind. You will take care of us. This morning we recommit anew and afresh to trusting you, God, with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength. And we cast all our cares on you because we know you care for us. That's our prayer in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.